joins us on the line. Chris, thank you so much for your time. I mean, I think most of the listeners, every time they hear the word NERSA, the immediate reaction is to think tariffs, to think Eskom and various other companies or situations that relate to NERSA. But before we even get into regulations, let's talk about the mandate of NERSA so we can all understand what your responsibility is as an organization.
Hi, Nastasha. I guess that's something that we find people don't really understand the breadth or the width of what we do. I think at the base level, really, we look after three industries, which is pipe gas, petroleum, pipelines and storage, and also electricity. So obviously you've spoken about electricity being the main area that everybody is concerned about. But if you think about it, what we regulate in the other areas is sort of the highways. You know, we don't regulate at the retail level. So in other words, what the prices to the end consumer, but we regulate the wholesale and the storage and the transport. What we really do, I think, it's tough to put it in sort of a 20-second thing, but we really license the infrastructure. So we have to make sure this infrastructure is developed orderly and also according to government policies and the legislation that governs us and any government plans, etc. And when we license, infrastructure, we also then have conditions of license that go with that. Mm. And part of that are the tariffs and the price structures, and also safety, also access to third parties, all that kind of stuff. But the base of it is about licensing the infrastructure and then also the tariffs, etc., that go with it.
Chris, taking into account those new changes and the regulations that you had just put in not so long ago and then sort of went back and forth, a lot of it about the solar panels becomes a bit worrisome. Is it because you're not getting enough out of Eskom? What is the sense around that sort of thinking? Why was the effects on perhaps generators or solar panels, why was it so necessary for you to perhaps delve into that space and see how best you could find yourselves as NERSA?
Okay, I think you're talking about the small scale.
Yes.
Those rules essentially that we had put out for consultation. We don't make the policy. The policy is directed by government.
Mm. Okay.
And government had put out regulations pertaining to small scale generators 1 megawatt and below, and indicating that we need to register them.
Mm.
So we had developed rules around that. Now, I think the rationale behind wanting to register and not license small scale generators is so that we know what the quantum is of generation that is, for example, displacing what Eskom might have supplied or be required to supply in the future. And I think that also then goes to informing government's plans. You know, because if you know that a big part of your electricity supply is going to be catered for by people themselves, then you don't have to plan for that. You know, so and then the reason why we've indicated that we are going to withdraw the consultation paper is that we were notified by government that they were amending those regulations. So our rules are a function of the regulations. We don't set the regulations or what needs to be regulated. That's done by the Department of Energy. And it's also entrenched in some of the legislation that governs us.
Right. Chris, what's the role that NERSA plays when it comes to the entry of new players in the energy sector? I mean, especially in light of, how monopolistic the nature of electricity or piped gas or petroleum piped industries is.
Yes, so I think that's, and that's probably where one does normally have regulation, is what we call the network industries. So the infrastructure, cost, etc., is quite a high barrier to entry. So our role, and it's in the legislation, is that we need to foster competition, entry of new players and all that, and transformation, and that's part of the objects of the acts that govern us. So, for example, in pipe gas or even petroleum, we do require all our licensees to provide for what we call third-party access. So that says that for example, if you've got a storage facility for petroleum in Durban and you've got spare capacity, you must allow a smaller player to be able to access a facility. Obviously, there's safety and other regulations that they need to comply with. But and that's also the tariffs that we set. We set the tariffs for third parties to access a facility. So in other words, we try to make sure that the tariff that, for example, a pipeline operator or a storage operator would charge a smaller player is not, you know, something where they're exploiting those people. They're able to then, we regulate the return they get and, you know, the cost of the assets and all that kind of stuff. So that's what we are required to do. Obviously, it's not always easy, given that a lot of these are monopolistic. And even with Eskom, you know, the thing with Eskom, if you're talking about competition in generation, that's really governed by the country plan that that the DOE would I think you guys all know it's the IRP and the IEP that they would set up. And we then license according to that, obviously making sure that whatever the licensees provide to us in terms of needing a license is efficient and complies with all of our rules and regulations. But the actual development of the infrastructure there, especially in electricity, is governed by that plan.
If you speak to, I think it's Chris Yelland, who constantly talks to us about changes in the tech space, especially when they have to do with energy or consumption of energy, and how developed economies are moving at a pace faster than South Africa will be able to catch up with. What kind of engagements are you having with other regulatory bodies, or perhaps even with the Department of Energy, as to how we can, you know, get South Africa's energy consumption or energy production to the next level?
Okay, so I guess you're probably talking about the energy transition and how we transition.
Yeah.
And look, we do know that you know, renewables is becoming a lot more prevalent worldwide. So we do engage with other regulators across our borders, you know, in the region. We're also a member of a number of the regional associations of regulators. And we also do engage overseas. You know, we do sometimes do these study tours to even the First World or to the East, and just to see what other regulators are doing and how the energy landscape is changing. And it's not only about electricity for us. You know, it's also about gas and all the gas-to-power stuff and even petroleum with, you know, electric vehicles coming in. And the question for us is then, as this changes, how do we regulate that into the future? So yes, we can't change things every second day, because that wouldn't give certainty to our licensees or applicants. But we do look at what we're doing and saying, is it still fit for purpose? And where do we need to go? You know, that's quite important. And then obviously we engage with DOE, even DPE, DTI, and then we also, but obviously we don't set those policies. Because we have to understand also where they're going, and we provide inputs. But the question for us is, depending on where they go and how they go, how do we regulate that in a you know, consistent, fair, transparent, equitable manner?
All right. That's Chris Philly, who is the CEO of NERSA, joining us, talking to us about the changing regulations and some of the developments we're seeing in the energy sector. Time to check in on traffic.
Classic 102.7.